Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
5 o'clock hour here in Phoenix, Final Four, Radio Row. By the way, we will have all the conversations we've done tweeted out over the weekend. I want to remind you, too, it's busy times for all of us sports-wise, good stuff to watch. Got the women's Final Four going on right now. We'll give you a score and hit a couple angles on the women in just a minute. But the UNLV Football Spring Showcase is tomorrow, so Caleb Herring and I will be hosting on the field. And you'll get to see a lot of the newcomers. And, you know, one, Allegiant Stadium, if you haven't been there, is awesome. Two, it's a very casual atmosphere. So it's not going to be a full football game, but they'll have live play 11 on 11. They'll go through some drills. But you're going to want to see the quarterback mix now. Jaden Maiava is gone. And Haj Malik Williams is expected coming out of the spring to be the number one. Matthew Sluka in from Holy Cross will challenge. So you get to watch him. They've got a lot of young talent stepping up from the roster last year and a bunch of new guys. A lot coming out of the transfer portal. So
what time is it at?
1 o'clock. What time do you fly back in?
I think I land at like 12:30.
Oh, boy.
Straight over?
Oh, it's close. It's close.
Jumping an Uber?
All right. Well, I'm not happy right now because I want to see South Carolina get UConn or Iowa in the final for the women. South Carolina by one?
Yeah.
Are they only just a destructive juggernaut because of LSU and Mulkey, the motivation? I know they're great. They're unbeaten. They smashed most people this year. They've had some close games. Maybe this speaks to the level of talent now around women's college basketball that is getting deeper and deeper. Indiana was the game, South Carolina. I think it was last Friday that they had a mess around in late. Right now it's a one-point game. Carolina 32-31 NC State.
They got a battle on their hands. Hopefully they pull away in the second half.
So we have news in about Caitlin Clark with regards to Vegas and a Vegas event, which will be what, Indiana?
Fever at the Aces.
And they will not play it at the MUA.
No. They have moved it over to T-Mobile Arena to get a much better, you know, spotlight, and I imagine they'll probably sell it out because the Aces are selling out games anyway.
Didn't, and at the end of last season, they sort of did a fan celebration. And I thought they had, like, north of 14.
Yeah.
Maybe it was
bigger. And they sold out the season tickets this year. So I know they saved some individual game tickets for this occasion, for this reason. And then now they're going to be able to move that over to T-Mobile, so I think it's very cool to be on a big stage, and we'll see how it plays out, and let's hope Caitlin Clark doesn't have, like, a sprained ankle or something. Load management doesn't play that one?
Man, you know what I want to happen. I am looking for Caitlin Clark to come in and roll the WNBA, and I'm looking for WNBA players to say absolutely not and talk trash going in. We will smash you. Was Kelsey Plum on McAfee the other day?
She was.
And she was very big on saying much different games.
Yeah.
Well, much different level of play, college basketball versus the WNBA. So kind of subtle shots fired. She's done it before.
No, she actually said that Caitlin Clark's kind of different. So we'll see how that goes. But she said for herself, she said, I sucked, which I don't think is accurate. I think she was, you know, on the all-rookie team that year. So I don't think she sucked. But she just said it's so different. And she said you come in as a scorer that scores that much and that freely in college, as she did. You know, Kelsey Plum was a record holder before Caitlin Clark broke it. And she said you just score so easily. And you get your shots off and you, you know, you get to the basket. You kind of get what you want. And it's just, do you make the shot or not? And she said it's not like that in the WNBA. She said they close out on you so quickly. The gaps that you think are there aren't there. And it's just so fast until you get up to speed in the league. So she said it's a major jump forward. And we'll see, you know, how Caitlin Clark handles that.
Damon, are you following the brewing rumor mill on UNLV point guard D'Don Thomas?
Steve, I'm locked in on it. I because there are so many conflicting reports.
Yeah.
I just want to see who's right and who's wrong at the end of the day.
So Whisper started like a day and a half ago, and some of this was based on the fact that Kelvin Sampson has talked about, or reports around Houston are, hey, you know, they gotta start replacing their roster too, right? And that they're looking for a new point guard. Well, Kelvin Sampson and Houston were on D'Don Thomas. UNLV landed him, but they were on him. So the assumption is, hey, if they got money to spend, they're going to make a run at D'Don Thomas. So now there's a brewing fear that it could be Houston who makes the run, comes after him. Then we got two reports today. One from Terrell Emerson, who I like a lot, and I think he's got pretty good sources. He said, sources say Thomas is in the portal. Paloma comes over the top from Fox 5, and you know she covers the team, and she said, my sources say he's not. Does any of this matter, or is this just a formality in the portal, out of the portal?
I mean, it's just a formality. I mean, people are getting recruited anyway, whether they're there or not, and or whether it's legal or not. So it's kind of just a formality. I was looking at the wording because I thought, I guess you can go. I thought it was a dead period where you can't go in, but then apparently some people are going in. I guess you can't. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the rules are anymore. I don't think anybody does.
I also, because I had someone give feedback on the, I took a Photoshop, whatever, a screenshot of each of the reports, and someone's like, it's a dead period. And I'm like, well, the portal's open to April 30th. Like, I didn't want to say, like, I don't care that it's a dead period. So then he goes in on the 11th. And I'm not saying that I know he's in.
Well, that's why I was looking at the exact wording, because you could say plans to enter, and then right. I think it's a little bit different.
If you say plans?
He said in.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is possible.
Okay.
Again, but I don't know that for sure. I just didn't think you could announce your intention.
I mean, we could probably go over during the break and look at one of the four portal sites and see if all the reports today say planned or plan to go in.
Yeah. It's just details at this point, right? Because if he wants to go into it, he will go into it eventually and explore his offers. And I think you probably should. That doesn't mean you're leaving, but especially, like, he is the ultimate example to me of guys that should explore their options every single year. Like, to me, he is, right now, I would say, probably the number one available point guard in the country. And not yet, necessarily, but he's the guy I would most want if I was a team looking for a point guard. He's also not a high-end NBA prospect. He's not a guy that would go into the NBA and be, like, a surefire first-round pick right now, even though I think his skills are unbelievable.
So you think the value for Thomas
the prototypical,
is even higher? Like, he could be a three-year get.
He's the prototypical college player and a guy that should make as much money as he can from his college career, because that could be the peak of his earning potential. So he should.
All right, Damon. So where are you on this? You love the conflicting reports?
I love the conflicting reports just with local media, because you see all these faces and you know who these people are. But I will say, I know the coaches are starting to run together, be so many interviews. Wasn't it Coach Kruger who said that you got to do your due diligence? Or if you had a financial advisor? Am I getting
good
my
point.
Coaches?
We talked to like 35 coaches.
Yes, some coach throughout the day said, hey, if you were financially.
He did. Yes. I was actually surprised he used that term.
Yeah, so your financial.
He's very. He's very upfront about what the process is. There are certain coaches we've talked to these last 2 days where I've been a little bit surprised that, not even embrace, but you know what it is, embrace reality.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend.
Yeah, I think that's the key, right? I mean, there are going to be coaches that, and I know, I know Coach Kruger is one that, doesn't love this whole thing, and seems to kind of wish it wasn't this way, and hopes that there is some restraints put in.
Well, he wants guardrails, but he's all for the kids.
Of course,
hey, do what you want to do, but we got to have some guardrails here.
Yeah.
And maybe shrink down the time. He believes that the length of time is insane. You're basically on pins and needles the entire month this month.
But he also understands it, and I think is trying to figure out and how to bring guys in and how to build your roster and all those things. Like, coaches that just say, I don't like it, I'm not participating in this. Well, you're not going to be coaching, man. You're just going to be done. You're not going to be coaching anymore. Like, that's just the bottom line. So you cannot like it. You can want restrictions in place. You can hope for guardrails to go up and that sort of thing. And that's fine. And I think that's probably going to happen at some point. But if you're just saying, I'm out, then you're not going to be in this game anymore. So you have to embrace it. You have to try to figure it out. And you have to work with kids who are going to be in this situation.
Damon, I cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, when it comes to the financial advisor, hey, why wouldn't you just go check to see what the market is, even if you don't really want to leave? But you would be kicking yourself if someone said, hey, man, when you were in college about 3-4 years ago, we were ready to offer you $2 million, but you never entered the portal.
Yeah. Well, we know that Dan Hurley has embraced it.
Yeah.
Because he went and bought the Rutgers two-guard, Cam Spencer. A couple years ago, they made the purchase on Griffin from East Carolina. This is the way of the world. You got to be competitive. You also got to be competitive to keep your team together. Because I'm sure there might have been a couple of people, schools, who reached out to, even though it's UConn, Donovan Klingon's people, right? Hey, are you going to play a whole lot this next year? Now, as it turns out, he's playing a lot.
Yeah.
But someone could have come down with, hey, here's $800,000. Let's go.
Yeah.
So you got to protect your own. You got to keep recruiting. It's just the way it works. And PJ Carlissimo was sitting down with us a little while ago, former Seton Hall coach, coached Dan Hurley. He's on the Westwood One coverage pre, post, halftime. And I mentioned, hey, you know, the fact that UConn's here again is really impressive. And it's really impressive because it's not the same team. They do have plenty of new contributors.
They do. They've got good continuity, which is obviously important in Caravan and Tristan and Dunham and Kling is a different player. Sandiara, they had guys who did play, but they have reloaded. Cam Spencer, their backcourt, those two are just bearing it. They make open shots. They're playing so well. And the thing they've done that impresses me, and, you know, it's hard enough to do it one time. When you're the defending champ, and first of all, it's Connecticut basketball, so they're not sneaking up on anybody to begin with. Now you're the defending champ, and for most of this year, they or Purdue or Houston were number one in the polls. So they had the bullseye on their back the entire year, and they haven't missed a beat. If anything, I mean, everybody kind of thinks last year, oh, Connecticut, they you know, they won six in a row. They were dominant. They were the best team in the country. But they didn't come in as the number one seed. They weren't those kind of expectations. I mean, when they started their journey in Albany, everybody wasn't going, oh, we're going to Houston. We're going to win the whole thing. It was one game at a time, same it was for everybody. Not this year. I mean, when their year started, they're saying, oh, we're going to be in Phoenix. And same thing for Matt Painter at Purdue. So, I mean, for those two to get here, totally different journey than Nate Oates had with Alabama and Kevin Keats certainly had with NC State.
Would you be shocked if we're not watching Connecticut and Purdue on Monday?
No, not shocked. I'll be surprised. If you have to pick, this is two of the best three teams in the country, and it's not like they were in mediocre leagues and didn't play a really good schedule. You got a team that dominated the Big East and a team that dominated the Big Ten. Houston is the third that's missing. I mean, you know, and I don't think any way from Duke beat him. Jamal Shedd injury was a major factor, but Duke beat him. Duke beat him legit. But I mean, I think if those three were here, you would be saying these are the three best teams all year. Best team out of the Big 12, best team out of the Big East, best team out of the Big 10. So, yeah, they're the ones that should be here, but it just doesn't happen like that in this league. Alabama is certainly good enough to win. Nate knows the Hurley family very well. They played last year in the PK Invitational in Portland. Kevin Keats, guys, right now, it's incredible. They've won nine elimination games in a row. They had to win all five games in the ACC tournament to even get in this tournament. And then, like everybody else, you know, win or go home, they've done that four more times. And they're defending as well. All four teams are defending well. Their numbers are sick. They're holding teams like in the mid-30s from the field, under 30 from the three-point line. Their backcourt's been exceptional. They just shut down Marquette's backcourt, which is a good backcourt, very good backcourt, good, very good backcourt, and they shut down Duke's three guards. So, you know, if they can do that to Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, slow them down a little bit. You're not going to stop Zach Edey.
No.
But if they impact Purdue's backcourt the way they did with Marquette and the way they did in Dallas when we were watching them with Duke, they got a better shot than people think.
If you were Dan Hurley, would you be concerned that your team hasn't had a close game?
No, I'd be thrilled if they're playing the way they're playing now. I mean, I'm lucky. Now, obviously, I'm biased. Dan, you know, we were lucky enough to coach Danny for 2 years at the Hall. He hasn't done a good job. He's done an exceptional job. They have played so well. They're such a balanced team. They defend better than people probably realize. They rebound. They can make threes. They can beat you on the dribble. Dunham and Klingon has really become. He's so much a better player than he was. He contributed last year, but, you know, with Sanogo and the guys they had starting, this year he's a major factor. And if it ends up them and Purdue, that matchup, Edey and Dunham and Klingon, it's not going to decide the game, but you know, if anybody has somebody who's ready to play against Zach Edey, it's UConn. So Danny's got to be, I would think, he's a coach and he's a Hurley, so he's thinking of 800 other things that they don't do as good as he would want. I watched their practice yesterday. It was great, and he's still pushing them and you know, making all the right decisions. But deep down inside, he's got to feel real good about where he's at.
What is he running offensively? I heard Mark Few talking about it last week, saying, you know, the college game is a lot of high pick and roll, but UConn is running something different.
They run everything. They are the most multiple team you're going to see. You can't get ready for them. Like, the teams in the league know them, the teams in the Big East Conference. They run so many different things. They run them so many different ways. They will attack. They will run ISOs. They will post up. They will get three-point shots. And he has a huge, huge playlist to call. Like, he should be an NFL coach or one of those. You know, when they open that, I get listening to Jason Horowitz, I'm sure, when he does the Vegas games. But the Raider games, they open it up. His playlist is as long or longer than anybody's in college basketball.
So, as a high school student, I got to be around the Hurleys and St. Anthony, and going back to when Bobby started.
Yep.
And, you know, I was asking, we talked to James Jones yesterday at Yale, and he's like, you know, we had recruited St. Anthony way back then. And I mentioned to him, I'm like, wait, Bob Senior, what I thought about with Bob Senior was defense, defense, defense. So now we're seeing Dan as this offensive guru. What, do we underrate what yep. Bob Senior did?
Yes. Bob Senior was a I'm being accused of a little bit, so I apologize. Was a lot better offensive coach than you probably gave him credit for.
I was also 16, so I'm not sure. I don't know if I understand basketball now, but I didn't.
And Danny is a lot better defensive coach than people realize. Again, they, you know, they, when they score the points and when they're beating people by 20, people are going, wow, these guys just, you know, score 80 points. They're incredible. Meantime, Alabama is the number one scoring team in the country and shoots like 40% from three. So could be a shootout. I know Nate Oates is going to want it to be quicker than Danny's going to want it to be. But, again, part of the strength of UConn is it reminds me of some Spurs teams of the past. They could beat you in a slowdown game. They could beat you with their defense. Or they can play at a much quicker tempo and beat you with their offense. So it's going to be interesting to watch two coaches that know each other very well and how that game is going to transpire.
Dan Hurley is fiery. We've talked about it, believe it or not, in Vegas, about him going at the crowd and a couple of times saying, you know what, I'm going to kick your ass. And then Adam's claim is that, you know what, a fan could come down and Dan's going to whip him. I mean, you're around him. Yeah. Was he a guy who would kind of get in the scraps?
He's a fiery, competitive player. He grew up in a family as intense and as knowledgeable basketball-wise as there ever was. I'll tell you what people forget. People don't give him credit. People always talk about Bobby, which they should, being an All-American, playing in Final Fours, you know, the career he had. Danny played 4 years at Seton Hall, went to three NCAAs, and an NIT, not an NIT championship like Shaheen just won the other day, but three NCAAs and NIT and scored 1,000 points. For a lot of people, that's a pretty good career. Maybe by Hurley standards, it's not. But Danny Hurley was a heck of a basketball player and is a great basketball coach.
But he probably shouldn't be calling fans down to whip him.
Well, it depends.
He'd win, though.
Not Seton Hall fans. When Connecticut's on the road, he shouldn't be messing with Seton Hall fans. The other nine teams in the Big East have at him.
Coach, we appreciate you sitting in. Thank you.
Great being with you guys. Thank you.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Let's head back down to the Golden Circle. Greg Salerno with us. Greg?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, good. You know what? The only thing we're missing here in our radio row room are TVs. I'm really missing the women's Final Four game. Are you watching?
I actually am, man. I am currently watching. Actually, dude, they're putting it on them. I didn't think it was going to be like this, but South Carolina right now putting it on NC State. It's 48-36 with 4:48 left in the third.
So your answer, I actually am. What does that mean?
Oh,
that you don't normally?
Yeah, it happens to be on in front of me. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I know. I'll tell you this. I didn't used to watch as much until the Caitlin Clark like whole fiasco last year. I hate to admit that I'm that person that started paying attention then, but it really is when. And I do pay attention more than I used to, but I mean, like, if I wasn't watching the game right now, would I, like, kick a puppy? No, probably not, but.
Damn. I kind of figured that was your answer. That's why. And not that I was setting you up here. I'm like, I'm guessing that Greg is not down with it yet. I've grown into more of a women's basketball fan, but I also cover it with UNLV.
Right.
There are people who was saying it yesterday. Actually, I think he just walked out of the room. The dude from KJR in Seattle was making the claim with someone that the women's Final Four is bigger this year than the men's.
I'll agree because I'm not watching that either. So, no, I'm just kidding, actually. I have been watching the other. But, no, I mean, look, the Caitlin Clark thing obviously makes it huge. I mean, I'll watch for that because I want to see now at this point, okay, so she beat LSU, but now everybody's like, oh, okay, but you don't have a chip. So now she has a chance to go out there, and I know UConn's slightly favored, but she has a chance to go out there and get a chip and maybe be the greatest college basketball player ever. I mean, women's, you know, college basketball player ever. So that's something I would definitely watch for. Now, if she wasn't in it, would I be watching? Honestly, I don't know.
Now, that's interesting because that's been another argument around this thing. Jay Williams was real heavy on this and then got ripped on by other people. Does she have to win a championship to be the greatest player of all time?
I mean,
do you have to win to be an all-time great?
Well, here's the thing is they keep bringing up other players.
The greatest.
And then you look at the numbers, and they're not even close. So I'm like, you know, she plays at Iowa. Like, if she was at a team surrounded by all-stars and she hadn't won one yet and she's putting up these numbers, you'd be like, oh, there's stat padding. I get it. But she's carrying her team. So, I mean, she's obviously better than everybody else on the court. Is she the best ever? I mean, am I qualified to make – I don't know. But she definitely has better numbers than anybody that's ever seen, you know, a comparison when people try to post them.
Is she the best scorer ever? Adam, do you believe in evolution?
I do.
Yeah, I do too. She's the best scorer ever. Is she the greatest player ever? She's close. Adam and I are consistent on this, and I don't know why I'm rolling you in. Maybe you're not. You don't agree on this, but I think each era's players are better than the past, and the women's game is growing so fast that it's like the clock is moving every 10 years. I think she would destroy players of the past.
Oh, of the past, yeah. Here's the problem. It's the current, and I don't think she's the best player in the game tonight.
You are...
Talk that talk, Adam.
A moron. You're saying Paige Beckers
is
better?
Are you also saying that Dawn Staley is a moron?
Oh, I got to hear this.
Dawn Staley said Paige Beckers is the most elite college basketball player ever.
Now, when games are going on and games are coming up, that could be just a little trash talk.
I mean, what does she have to do with that game?
Well, she's going to face the winner.
Maybe this was last week.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll take her word for it.
I don't
follow closely.
I don't think we want to take Greg down this path of let's compare Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark.
Well, hold on. Can I just say something? How glad I am to hear you guys talk about the past versus the era thing, because that's like my main number one pet peeve right now in sports is this ridiculous old head nonsense where, like, yep, you know, LeBron couldn't play in the 80s, and, you know, it's not – you go back and watch the 80s, it's so – there's no switches, there's no – there's no zone, there's no – nobody's, you know, nobody took their hands out. It's so ridiculous. I mean, the comparisons are so dumb. It looks so slow and so dumb compared to now.
Well, LeBron,
I'm so happy to hear you say that.
We done with the 80s is what he wanted to
actually
say.
Actually, LeBron couldn't play in the 80s because he would score 95 points a game to get every rebound, and they would just shut down the league.
Exactly.
He's not tough enough. Trust me.
Oh.
Trust me. At 6'8", 270,
yeah,
he's tough enough.
Dude, well, the enforcer, Lambeer, is the same size as Kevin Durant. Okay? I mean, give me a break, dude. He would throw those guys around like rag dolls.
Wow, this look at you.
Oh.
Just ruffling feathers with my crowd and older. How dare you? And I love Damon bringing up the, what are the multiple places or sites or handles up on TikTok going anti-80s and anti-90s?
We done with the 80s and 90s. I love it.
We done. That's so good.
Garbage.
All right, Greg, what are you seeing down at Golden Circle today in terms of, aside from what's on TV, but everything else? You got food earlier.
I did. I had a phenomenal chicken salad sandwich, and I'm telling you, I'm a chicken salad connoisseur, and it's amazing. They got memorabilia hanging over the place, HD screens. You can sit in here and gamble, man. They got little slot machines in here, video poker, all kinds of stuff. So you should come on down, man. It's the first time here, and I'm loving it.
Greg, great job, man.
Thanks, guys.
To you.
I appreciate you.
Good pitch for Treasure Island and the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. A little while ago, we were talking to one of the Westwood One broadcasters, Big Ten Network, doing sidelines, and longtime reporter, longtime scribe, Andy Katz, sat down with us. And, you know, I'm very much into the whole sideline reporter thing. It's very personal for me now, Adam. And I look, and I judge, and I was watching Andy Katz. And on multiple occasions, he gets done talking with a coach, and he's like, thank you. And the coach just turns his head and walks away. I'm like, how dare you? So I had to ask Katz, you feel disrespected? You get mad when they don't even say thank you?
No, I don't feel disrespected.
Okay.
At all.
There's a lot going on,
yeah,
at the moment.
I will say this. If you're going to ask me in general, I'm not a fan, and I'm not singling anyone out.
Oh, boy.
I'm not a fan of wishing good luck because I felt like sometimes that can be too partisan.
Huh.
Because sometimes I only do one side based on maybe you only get one of the coaches on camera, maybe the other one you're doing off camera. So then it's like, oh, I'm only wishing, the public only sees me wish one side good luck.
That's true.
So I don't always get both coaches on camera.
Oh, do you think fans are irrational enough to guess?
I don't know. I just try to.
I'm saying yes, they are.
Yeah,
they are crazy.
So I have steered away from wishing good luck.
That's pretty smart.
I've lost all objectivity in grading the sideline reporters because I now that I think about it, there is someone who does that, and I'm like, maybe I should do that. But now you just told me I shouldn't. I've become this like unapologetic backer of all sideline reporters. Like every time there's
Thank
an
you.
Issue, I'm like, you show her respect, and I try to like take people behind the scenes. Like that's not right.
Well, all right. So
I
mean, we're gonna
become very vigilant. I want to.
All right. So let me just get on my soapbox for a moment and say that number one, you have to ask a question. Now, I have not seen you, so I'm just going to say right off the bat.
I learned early
okay,
on, don't make a statement.
No statements.
Yep.
Never say talk about. Yep. Okay, ask a question. Second thing, watch and listen. Perfect example to happen to me this tournament. Shaka Smart. I interview him after they beat Colorado. As I'm talking to him, I see he's getting emotional. Okay, so we're on the verge of some tears here. So I'm watching him, and I knew I had one more, but I think they may be getting in my ear. But right in that moment, you know, that's when I said, where does this emotion come from? And then I got an even better answer and more emotion in the face and the eyes. Then there are other times when, you know, they will tell you something, and this happened, I'm trying to remember, this was another... This might have happened in the Big Ten tournament. But anyway, there was another case where someone said something to me that I was not... I know what it was. It was in the Big Ten tournament with Brad Underwood, Illinois, and they got lucky. Yes, I remember this. It was against Ohio State. Yeah. Ohio State had a 3 to tie it. And our announcers were kept saying, I think it was Robbie and Kevin... Like, why did they foul? And so I just phrased it to Underwood. I said, what was your strategy there at the end? Because Jameson Battle's shot almost went in. And Underwood said, well, I wanted them to. And so I said, what happened? You know, like, and he says, they didn't listen to me in the huddle. So that was a case where, you know, whatever I was going to, like, that was out the window.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to play off of what he says at that moment. So a lot of times you got to block out what the producer's in your ear because you got to listen to the person right in front of you.
So you like doing this, clearly.
Yes.
You're into the craft.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to your roots, and I got to ask you about Fresno State. I feel like as a Mountain West Conference market in Vegas,
yes.
I feel it's not the right way to phrase it, but we try to follow all the job searches.
Yes.
And I don't know what the hell's going on there. There's almost no information. It seems like it's a weird process. Have you heard anything? We've seen a million names. There was the Quincy Pondexter thing with Sloan Stephens offering money, and then I saw some fans were like, how about just give the money and don't demand that they hire this coach? So what is going on there? Do you know? Are you too far removed now?
I am too far removed, but it's so crazy because I knew Quincy when he was a little kid because that's, you know, I was there in the late 90s. Yeah, it's not the same. I mean, if Tark were live now and coaching there with his connections, I think they would have had the money for NIL. But I don't know if the right person is there with the connections to get the NIL money.
Where was the money coming from back then?
I mean, he had a lot of, you know... It's a strong Armenian community. He was Armenian, and there was a lot of money in the Armenian community.
Wasn't there still money from Vegas of Tark?
Yes. And he could have done that as well. There's no question. But, yeah, that was a whole surreal time. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I went to Vegas with Tark, go to Piero's, all that kind of stuff. It was just I'll never forget. They had redone McCarran. And we flew into Vegas for some, maybe it was for media day or something. So I'm with Tark, and we get off the plane. We're walking up the jetway. We get out, and he had never been in the new part of McCarran, okay? So we get out, and he walks up, and he's like, where are we? They took us to the wrong place. And he turns around, and he starts walking back down the jet bridge.
Oh,
And I said, no, coach, turn around. They redid the airport. And then as we're walking, and he's all flustered, we're walking down, and I don't remember. I want to say his name was Larry. It wasn't Larry Johnson. There was a guy that was literally doing, like, custodial work, and he screams out, coach. And Jerry was like, hey, Larry, and then just kept going. So I said, Tark, like, who was that? And he goes, oh, he played for me in the 80s or something. And like, just random guy who actually played for him. And Jerry's like, stream of consciousness, and just kept going. But, I got Tark at the end. Not the Vegas Tark, the sure. Fresno Tark. And there was a little senility at times, and it was definitely an interesting time in my life.
What's the best story in the Final Four from a player standpoint? Like, I don't think it got blown up that much. I saw the highlights of it, but wasn't there a report that Zach Edey played hockey? He played baseball, I know
played
that.
Played baseball, hockey. I will say
hockey.
This. Wasn't I asked pitcher. Matt Painter this earlier today.
That's all right.
I'm going to be interested to see how he's judged, whatever, 5-10 years from now. Because the names that are on the list of players that have won back-to-back, it's ridiculous. I mean, whether it's AP, Naismith, Wooden, you know, it's Jerry Lucas, it's Bill Walton, it's Kareem, it's Ralph Sampson, it's David Thompson, it's Pete Maravich, it's Oscar Robertson, and Zach Edey. And all those guys are Hall of Famers as basketball players. But I want to know if they, especially if they win the title, which would be, you know, if they do it, they'd have to be UConn probably. He would have to go down as one of the greatest college basketball players in what he's done the last couple of years, and putting up 40 against Tennessee. You know, he's not being judged like that now, but let's see what happens this weekend and some time away. But when you see the names on the list, it's pretty amazing that he's on that list.
The hatred for just being tall is wild.
Yeah, it's unfortunate he was born, whatever, 20 years too late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Goliath is not honored now.
But I want to know if we could go in a time capsule. Go back to the Greg Oden. You don't have to go that far. Go back to the Greg Oden draft, okay? Remember, it was Oden and Durant. You put this Zach Edey in that draft, he's easily in the top five.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's ahead of Durant or Oden, but he's probably three. You know, I mean, and that's like after that time period, like around 07, 08, that's when it shifted. And now suddenly no one wants the typical big.
Well, it's not just the NBA not liking the bigs. Like, fans hate him.
I know.
And I don't. He's a great kid.
I know. I don't get it.
I don't understand it.
All right, I got to ask you guys.
We got one last minute here.
All right. The success of the Mountain West has been great. Obviously, I've got roots in that part of the country. But what's it going to take for UNLV to be in this group? Because I thought there were times this season where they were going to be one of the six. I didn't think they'd get seven, but one of the six that would have gotten in.
If they can re-recruit Dedon Thomas Jr. and keep him around, I think a lot of guys are going to come want to play with him. I think that will be huge for the next couple of years.
And not lose games they shouldn't lose like they did early in the season. Right?
Yeah, debilitating. Loyola Marymount, Southern, 32 to Air Force, inexplainable.
So. They need to keep him around. They need to find some money.
Absolutely. And honestly, this is a transactional world, and I've said it. You got to have budget.
Yep.
You got to buy players, keep them, and it's just the way it is now. I mean, that's how Tark did it. It's not an insult to Tark.
Yep.
Now it's above board. You got to do it.
Right. I agree.
There he is, Andy Katz.
Make all right,
sure
thank you.
Listen to the coverage, and I really am very high. And
all right, great.
A compliment from me.
Right,
I don't mean high that way, but on your, on your sideline game.
I like it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Wow, he was fired up to get out of here.
Well, it sounded like get out.
No, I wasn't.
He said, because he short answered, like, okay. And then you said, all right, and again, so that's enough.
And I said I was high, and he starts cutting me off. I'm like, true. I don't mean I'm, like, smoking weed.
True.
So he's good. And I like having Andy on because he is quite the historian. And when he was covering Tark and Fresno, I think I just got into Vegas. And obviously my perspective, not being a West Coast person, was much different than a guy like that who was covering the scene. So there's always great Tark stories, but that's funny that he was – that McCarron story.
What is this?
Wrong airport. I don't recognize the surroundings.
Well, I like that the solution would be to walk back onto the plane. Like, what is that going
to
do?
Take me back. Yeah. Take me to the right airport.
I feel like you just got to find the counter and book a new flight.
So we had talked to Andy a little earlier, and then there's been rumors going around that Deion Thomas is in the portal, maybe not in the portal, conflicting reports, and both of us basically said the same thing. You started out with, hey, UNLV's success is based on making sure this kid stays around. And, I mean, that's I'm not being unfair there, right? That's been my take on, hey, to keep him around, you got to have some budget, and to get new players and keep other players you want, you got to have money. It's just the way to until things are changed. There has to be support for the program.
That's what college basketball is, basically.
It is.
College sports.
I mean, those rumors coming out around Louisville based on trying to lure Scott Drew from Baylor, and that he might have NIL budget of $3 to $4 million.
Yeah.
That's a wake-up call. I think that's a wake-up call for a lot of fans who haven't been paying attention. Or even there was, I think it was very unfounded, but the report that A.J. Storr, Kansas was offering him like $750,000, and he countered with $1 million. Again, it was not. I don't think I was founded, but I had followed up on that, and I don't know what I believe. I think Kansas does have a massive budget.
Yeah,
I'm told that it's not as big as people think, but I don't.
Well,
believe
I also
that.
I think it's a constant back and forth, right? Because a lot of these numbers sound, if you know, numbers come out, then schools will say that's inflated, and people around schools, that's inflated. Well, there's a reason they're telling people that's inflated. Because they don't want people thinking that much money is going out. I actually think the numbers are higher than what we hear reported. Yeah. I mean, these are numbers that have been that were thrown around before it was legal.
I figured,
why would it have gone down when it got legal?
I figured Hunter Dickinson moving from Michigan to Kansas probably was in that store range.
I think it was far higher.
The claim of the story. You think it was? You think it was like $1 million?
I think higher.
Really?
Yeah.
That didn't work out. He got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest problem, is he got hurt.
Sorry. You know what I keep coming back to? And I'm glad the guy's being honest. I think he's freaking sinking a ship by acting like this. But Jeff Linder of Wyoming, when he goes on his coach's show and he's like, UNLV, you know, the breakdown, a lot of money out there on the floor. Like, okay. And then he doubled down. We brought him on and he talked about it again. He's like, just look at the top five. Those are the top five NIL teams in Mountain West Conference. Okay.
Yes, correct. That's how it is. That's how it's going to be.
Well, the other thing is when you are at the Wyoming, and Wyoming can be good, and you've landed some good recruits, and you keep losing them, that's not NIL. You think the 6'10 sophomore and the 6'9 freshman who are 4 point and 3 rebound guys every night are being wooed by money that Jeff Linder can't come up with? Come on. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I thought both of them. It was Manu and I'm blanking on their kid's name, but I can't imagine. I also can't imagine, because there's another side. Like, coaches can go, you know what? No, leave.
Yeah.
I thought Kruger did a really good job in hour one when he was talking to us about the roster and the reports out there that Jackie Johnson is in the portal. I think he pretty much confirmed it. One of the backup guards, backup point guard, Jackie Johnson, who's been around for a couple years. And he said, you know, with everyone, and even guys from the portal, he says the other coaches, it drives them nuts, the assistants, he says that he is very big on explaining the basement. Like, this is reality. This is maybe the worst that can happen. And then you point out the upside. But just, we want to be real. Like, you don't tell a guy on the team that, oh, yeah, come back. 28 minutes a night. Like, you got to, because then it sets unfair expectations.
That's also the secret of being a salesperson, right, where it's, you know, a customer is not going to be happy if you tell them, hey, let's just say a player, you're going to play 40 minutes a game, you're going to score 24 points a game, you're going to do this, this, and this. And the player comes in and they have a really good season. Let's play like 33 minutes a game, score 16 points, great season. Like, you told me I was going to get a lot more. But if you tell them, hey, you might get in the game every once in a while, and he comes in and has a decent season, now all of a sudden it looks great.
You think Eric Musselman explains the basement?
No.
Does he take his shirt off to woo every recruit?
He's selling the
not
sky.
Not necessary.
No, I don't. Not anymore.
I can't wait to see what he's going to put together at USC, though.
It's going to be.
He's going to be a lunatic.
Yes, and they'll probably put together a good roster.
It's going to be very, very crazy. All right, on the way back, we close things out here in Phoenix. Of course, we've got the games on tomorrow on ESPN Las Vegas. Both of the games and all the great broadcasters. We'll have more of those podcasted as well. That'll be up later tonight or tomorrow morning, as we'll come back and wrap on the important things going on here in Phoenix and our picks for the Final Four.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Phoenix on this Friday evening, Final Four. Thanks to Westwood One for hosting us the last couple of days. Adam Hill with a great job finding his way down here when he's got a lot going on. But you love this.
It's fantastic.
You lit up. It's you lit great. Up. So many good interviews, too, that we didn't even get on the air, so we'll have those up on the web. Look for them at ESPN Las Vegas on Twitter and at Steve Cofield. So, women's basketball. All right, I'm getting what I wanted. I want to see South Carolina in the final against Geno or Caitlin. 32-31 at the half. It's 72-51 now. They have exploded. What was this, the third quarter?
29-6.
Okay. All right. How many? Do they have alternate broadcasts of these games tonight?
Yeah, they have one of the players-only broadcasts.
So who does that?
I saw Kelsey Plum on there, Diana Taurasi.
Is it Taurasi and Bird who hosts
it? Sue Bird, and then Cameron Brink was on there from Stanford.
Cameron Brink?
Yeah.
The 6'5 center from Stanford. What'd she say?
Well, she's declared for the draft. She's going to go in, and she was explaining her reasons why. And she said, you know, the normal reasons. She said she wants to, you know, get into the league. She knows there's going to be a rookie curve, so she wants to get that out of the way and, you know, continue on with her career. There was some discussion of NIL money that was taking place before that as well. And then she said, you know, also, Stanford's hard. Like, I've been here a while. I'm ready to move on.
Good honesty.
And without saying they're switching conferences, she said, and I also don't want to travel across country to play the games back and forth all the time, which is a reference to them moving to the ACC.
I don't think we'll all be together in 10 years, but I would like to make a 10-year bet on the evolution of the player, because we're very big on this.
Sure.
Because Caitlin Clark is the best deep shooter in the history of women's college basketball. No one can deny that one. No one. No one.
What's her percentage?
I think she's 56% shooting beyond 27 feet.
What's her percentage on threes in general?
I don't know. I got to look it up. That seemed crazy. The deeper, the better she gets. I don't even know how to quantify this. I do believe, God, I should have saved that prospect. I saw a high school senior who was 6'2 and dunking easily. So that's evolution. I was just thinking with Cameron Brink, there's going to be a Cameron Brink who will be a two guard in 10 years.
Yeah. Sure.
Maybe 5?
Maybe 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happens. People can fight it and deny it all they want. It's evolution.
And that's why I pointed out with Angel Reese, who's 6'2", 6'3", if she had more outside skills, and she can get them, you can develop, I think she would go higher in the draft. She's probably, the mock drafts have her 7th.
You never know. She might go higher.
Is it sad to say if I had a franchise that was kind of middling and not making money that I would pick her over potentially a better prospect?
No, that's what I was going to suggest
that,
also.
Of, right?
Yeah, that you may want to, you know, you may want to sell some tickets too.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Damon, did you watch our guy Boo Booey? Anyone who comes on the show now is our guy. Did you watch Boo Booey against Tamanaga from Nebraska last night?
I didn't watch live, but I just saw the clips online. But I did, when I saw Boo, I did think, that was the guy that was on the show today.
Yeah. Good thing we didn't ask him about the three-point contest.
Yeah, that he was playing in later that day.
We got caught up in a bunch of other stuff.
You did Plus, ask him if, didn't you ask him? Oh, no, you asked the other kid if he spoke English.
Okay, now you're bringing stuff off the air.
No, that was on the air.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know how much he spoke.
Yeah.
He's like, he communicates pretty well.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't want to get caught in this UC Davis dentistry thing again. I don't want to have a Jim Gray moment where, what was the boxing match, the boxer, where Jim Gray walks in and he starts talking to a boxer through the translator, asks the question, and then what does the translator say?
He speaks English.
Yeah.
Like, why are you here?
Yeah, that's a good comeback. But in defense of Jim, like, you are here.
It's a Mackenzie Dern situation.
Well, that one's really crazy. Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
What do we got? What do we got left? I have stories galore. 50 seconds?
Come on.
Okay, I got to say this.
You got a minute.
I got to say this. Cronkite School, excellent journalism school, probably top 5 in the country. They've been a lot of the runners here at Radio Row in Phoenix, and they've been walking around making contacts. I don't think any of them respect or want, maybe it's because they watched it, none of them want to do sports radio.
No.
Damon, every kid who walked up went right to Adam because they heard he covers the Raiders and talked about writing. And then they're like, who are you? To me. I'm like, all right.
That's fair.
You are the bigger deal.
But Damon, more importantly, picks for this weekend, the most important event.
that's right.
Oh, you want my picks?
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Bloodline?
Oh, no. Whoa. Cody. It's Cody. He's finishing the story.
He's obviously going to win.
How's it going to happen?
It's going to be Bloodline rules. The Rock and Roman Reigns are going to win the tag team match tomorrow, and then on Sunday night, The Rock will turn on Roman Reigns.
Classic turn. Yes. Turn on your relative. Oh, do it. Do it in style.